Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Internet Marketing. Hello everyone and welcome to episode 166 of Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. And in today's show, Kelvin discusses the subtleties of international search with Bas Vanderbelt of stateofsearch.com. All coming up in Internet Marketing.
Baz, I know you spend a lot of time in various European countries at conferences and training and kind of consulting. Have you kind of noticed any kind of particular differences between the Netherlands, where you're based, and kind of some of the other markets like the UK and the States, for example?
Well, the biggest difference, of course, is the SERPs itself. If you take the best example I always take is Bing, because if you look at Bing in the US, that's a completely different search engine than the one in Holland, and that even goes for Google. I always say that Bing is in Holland is just live Microsoft Live Search with a Bing logo just pasted on top of it, because there's nothing changed since like 2-3 years, I think. So that's the major difference, the way the results are presented, and we just get stuff later. So that's the main difference.
I mean, I think I heard this week it was like Bing in Germany's finally gone out of beta, for example. You know, it's that kind of like you sometimes forget, don't you, that because, or particularly kind of you hear all the news when it's at released in the States, but you don't kind of, it all goes a bit quiet as that rolls out across the world, doesn't it?
And they take a lot of time to actually get it rolled out across the world, because in Europe, I think it's the UK who has a newer version, not even the most updated version, but they launched France a few months ago, and that's it.
Yeah.
So even Germany and Holland don't have the updated Bing yet.
And do you think that's just because of the complexity of kind of, you know, personalizing it to those countries? Or is it just kind of it's not a priority for them? It's about the US market share that's really what concerns the search engines?
A bit of both. I talked to Stefan Weitz and also Shadik Shambaz about that, who are from Bing. And what they are saying is that on the one hand, they want to make it perfect in the US, and then after they have it perfect in the US, then roll it out to different European countries. But they also have the issues with the language. They need to build up the entire new database in languages. Mm-hmm. And that is a difficulty, which takes time. But they also look at market share. So the reason why they chose France, for example, is because they already have a big market share in France as as Microsoft. So it was a easier step to take in France than to go to Holland. Mm.
And does that kind of difference in terms of how the search engines present their results and perhaps the versions of software, you know, the kind of algorithms that they're using, does that kind of mean that perhaps you need to take a slightly different approach to perform well in those markets?
Yes, definitely. Yes. We'll take universal search. That has taken quite a while to actually get integrated into the Dutch SERPs. And if you look at Google search and you do a search in the US or in the UK, you get a lot of images, a lot of YouTube stuff in there, which in Holland is a lot less. That has two reasons. One of the reasons is that it's just not there yet, so Google hasn't implemented it. And the other is that the marketers haven't done it yet. So I always tell people in my trainings that if there's no result, no video result, it's just because people haven't optimized for it. So there's a lot of opportunity to actually get in there now and be one of the first to actually show up as a universal search result.
And that, I suppose that's a huge opportunity, isn't it? Because, yeah, there is that, like, perhaps lack of, you know, it's not necessarily the kind of one country is behind another, really. It's just that it's, they've not been as prevalent at promoting it. So therefore, I think a lot of the reason why people are using, you know, promoting content that would appear in Universal Search is because they're seeing it appear in Universal Search. And it becomes kind of a, you know, you see your competitor do it, so therefore you do it, and therefore everyone's doing it. Whereas if no one's made that first move, that kind of seems an inevitable kind of, you know, situation where people might not have created video to appear in search, for example.
Yeah, exactly. One has to be the first to actually just do it. And well, if you look at travel, that's a really good example of how lousy actually travel agencies and travel sites are in optimizing for universal search. Because if I do a search for, I don't know, a holiday in France, I want to see pictures, I want to see videos, I want to see stuff like that. And if you do a search like that in a Dutch SERP, you just don't get it.
And have you found kind of companies that are perhaps from a US, the US or the UK, trying to make a move kind of into the Dutch market? Do they tend to, is there you know, many success stories, or are there kind of failures or common mistakes they tend to make?
Well, the problem for US or UK companies to get into Europe, there's two different troubles. For the US people, there's a trouble that they don't understand the Europeans. So they think in a totally different way. But also there's the Dutch market is pretty tight already. There's a lot of search agencies in Holland, so it's pretty difficult to actually get in there. I know that Big Mouth Media is working with a company in Holland, but you don't hear a lot about that. It's just the Dutch companies doing their own business. So I think they might just be scared off a bit about how many search agencies there are in Holland. What you do see is that the Dutch search agencies are trying to expand to other countries. So they are expanding to Germany and Spain a lot, actually, and some to Italy and the Nordics. But trying to get into Holland's a bit difficult. It's more the other way around.
Yeah, I mean, I know from our case, you know, because there's a few kind of campaigns that we work in Dutch language, and it is that kind of, it's tricky because there is, you know, as kind of English speaking SEOs, there's kind of a whole infrastructure there that you can rely upon. And yes, there's, you know, the most creative link building ideas, for example, are going to work in every country. And, you know, good on-site content is the same. It's just about kind of understanding how people search. That's the same. But it's kind of a lot of those kind of bedrock, perhaps not particularly exciting link building tactics, which do kind of form a foundation to an SEO campaign, seem a little bit harder to do in you know, other countries in terms of like article syndication or directory submission and those types of tactics, which are never going to you know, generate a successful SEO campaign on their own, but they are kind of good sort of, you know, keeping the links moving in the right direction process. And there does seem that that's is a little bit harder to take as a kind of perhaps a UK agency working in Holland or a UK based e-commerce site launching a Dutch version of your site.
Well, you can do it, but you'll need natives to actually help you with it. And get things going, even with the link building, by the way, because even though link building can be the same in different countries, it's good to have connections left and right to get those links. And the Dutch agencies have them. So working together with Dutch natives, the same goes for every other European country, I think, though. Working with natives is essence when it comes to optimizing for specific countries.
Yeah, I mean, that's always been kind of our approach, actually. It seems to work quite well, where it's a kind of, if we get someone who's native from the country, who's moved to study in the UK quite often, and then, you know, English is the second language, but they've been kind of working and operating in that language. They're really, really good in English and can work in English. But then you're able to kind of, you know, base them in the UK, but work internationally is the way that we've kind of worked, which seems to work quite well for us. And I suppose different models work different for different agencies, don't they?
I think there are, if I would do a cry out to UK agencies, is to hire some of the Dutch younger age SEOs, because there are some pretty good ones there, but they need to take the next step. And because Holland is behind, it would be good for them to actually have some stuff they can work on in the UK. But then they could also, UK companies could benefit having them working for them with Holland's Dutch stuff.
International experience is always going to be useful for anyone in their career, I think, isn't it? In terms of potentially kind of expanding your horizons and the
Absolutely,
like there as well.
Yes.
And in terms of, because I know that you kind of, you know, fortunate with Status Search to go to quite a lot of international conferences, is there any kind of markets or countries that you've seen that perhaps are, perhaps, you know, that you could see that you would, that you think are a kind of a big opportunity for websites to, if they are thinking about internationalizing their business and they're unsure which country to go for, ones that you can see that there's potentially a big opportunity?
I think two countries, well, Germany is already big, but France and Spain are kind of rising. And Spain has been that for a while now, but it's difficult to actually get Spanish bloggers, for example, because they don't blog there. But they do have some SEOs there, so that's interesting. On France, I see a lot of more social traffic coming from France in the last few months. I don't know why that's happening, but I'm seeing a lot of movement there. So I'm kind of feeling that it's an opportunity to get into the French market. And I also know that there are not a lot of French SEOs out there. So it's difficult to actually get them. So
yeah,
I think if you are a marketer in search marketing, a search marketer, you might have an opportunity to get some stuff done in France, though they're stubborn people, though. So,
well, yeah, it's interesting you say about the Spanish market, because interestingly, you know, the last Brighton SEO, we released the tickets there, kind of, we had a big sellout again on that front, but we're getting more and more people traveling from overseas. But I think of the kind of 1,000 tickets that we've got, I think we've got at least 30 or 40 people coming from overseas, of which 10 of them are all coming from Spain as one big group, which was kind of a bit surprising to me, because I'd kind of had expected some people from the Netherlands and Ireland and, you know, and that kind of thing. And there's people like from that kind of nature. And there's a few people kind of traveling from India who aren't really based in India. They're based in India in the UK, if you see what I mean. Yeah. But it kind of surprised me that I wasn't aware of us having, as a conference, the outreach to that community. But I think we had one or two people come last time who kind of flew a bit under the radar, and the word of mouth has spread there.
Yep. So
clearly there seems to be, a desire from that, you know, or from my little sample size there, of the kind of Spanish market developer.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all, to be honest. I've seen several Spanish people also going to SES and A4U Expo. So it's a country where stuff is going on. It's just the thing is, there's not a lot of money in Spain at the moment.
Yeah, which I suppose is the kind of the parameters in which the whole kind of European, world of search marketing is operating. Do you think that really makes a huge... Because it's tricky to say, isn't it? Because digital has this interesting situation whereby it's growing because budgets are shifting and, you know, behaviours are changing. So therefore that helps the world of internet and digital marketing. But it is operating in an economic climate where there's uncertainty and difficulties there. So it's kind of tricky to know when a company, you know, should a company be investing more in digital at the moment, or a company that is investing more in digital, how well are they doing? Or is it just reallocation of those budgets? Have you seen kind of a much effect of the Euro crisis, for want of a better description, on the world of digital marketing in Europe?
To be honest, I kind of see the opposite as what's happening in Europe. I see a lot of more investments in digital. And the thing is that if you focus on getting clients, so if for example you are a search agency and you want to get clients in Spain, don't expect them to pay you the big money you can get in the UK. However, if you are a company which works in Spain, I think digital is the way to go, because that will probably be the way where people will be heading towards in the next few years. It might not be. It might not look as if you get a lot of money out of it at first, but in the end, I think you will make more money on it.
No, it's definitely seems to be the way that, like, it's surprising, kind of, you know, if we talk about the kind of the double dip of it, where in the second phase of the recession, it seems that in the UK, at least from kind of my experience, that the confidence is that much higher this time, if you see what I mean. So a lot of people pulled budgets last time, and although there's still uncertainty and sometimes deals are a little bit harder to come by, or clients are a little bit more specific about what they want and kind of rightfully demanding, it does seem that there's less than there was kind of a couple of years ago. But then I don't know if that's just kind of us as a business maturing and therefore being more effective, and therefore it's hard to work out.
One of the major differences I see, the funny thing is that last year I was chairing the Dutch Search Awards, and I was also part of the UK Search Awards jurors. So I could really see the difference between the two countries. And one of the major differences is that it feels like in the UK, there's a lot more in-house. So agencies are working together with in-house, while in Holland, in-house still it has to grow. And that goes for many European countries. And I think if you focus on working together with potential in-house SEOs and training them, then you can get much more out of it than just being the agency trying to do the business for them. So that's the opportunity right there. And UK businesses do have that experience. So if they would try that in other countries, they would probably succeed.
And I think that's a sensible approach for agencies and in-house teams, isn't it? Because we've got quite a few relationships that work like that, and it works really well, because what you've got is you've got a very knowledgeable client, which is really good because they know what they want, and you kind of, you can, it, there's less kind of education involved in the process. It's more kind of everyone starting in the same place. And then it's kind of a flexibility, isn't it? So the agency can provide additional support where the in-house team don't have the capacity for that, or they do have the capacity, but sometimes they want kind of a third-party opinion to kind of help. You know, it's amazing. We've had a few projects where kind of we've been asked to do audits of sites when the person who's asked us to do the audit of the site is aware of all of the issues and is perfectly capable of identifying them, but actually it's about the process of third party validation of their opinion to kind of get their, their bosses to spend the money. And it's I think that's certainly seems to be a rising pattern in how we operate as a search agency in the UK, and it's interesting to say that you kind of, you could see that headed in that direction in Europe as well.
They'll have to, to be honest, because that's also where the money will go. They want to invest in understanding what they're doing, and they don't just want to give the money away to agencies and then wait and see what happens. They want to actually get involved. And if you if you can do that, then they'll be happy to pay you enough money for it.
And I know, Bas, on State Search, you cover a lot of the news in the world of digital marketing, and particularly search. And kind of, there's been a lot going on recently in terms of big announcements from Google, things like HTTPS giving the not set data in analytics, so a lot of the search keyword referrer data disappearing. Issues like, well, not issues, but, you know, opportunities like Google Search Plus, Your World, and that kind of thing. Are there any of those that you, you know, of these kind of big changes that we're going through, Panda and that type of thing, that you've kind of, as an individual, that you think are really important that our listeners to the podcast, if they don't know a lot about, should probably try and find out more about, because there's a huge opportunity there?
Well, the Panda, of course, and the spin-off of Panda. So they'll probably continue to do those kind of updates, and they do, will do that the same way they roll out the SERP stuff, like what we talked about earlier with Bing. So they will take it one step at a time. So if you are in a European country now and not in the UK or US, you can have a head start. You can work on it right now to be ready when they actually roll out the updates in the different European countries. So that's one I think you should focus on. As for Search Plus Your World, it's still on the Google.com, I think. I don't know about the UK ones. It's not.
No, not on the UK yet.
No, it's not. It's not on the .nl either. So, that'll take some time to get used to, and work on it. But, building your brand right now will probably help you when it gets rolled out. So be present on all different kind of channels, and be sure that your brand is mentioned, and that you have a reputation, so to speak. That way you will show up as being the one who shared stuff on Google Plus or on Blogger. It's not just Google Plus, by the way. It says you have to share on different Google properties to get listed there. So I think work on that right now, and you'll have a head start when things get rolled out in the other countries.
Fantastic. No, really helpful advice there, Bas. Really appreciate it.
Good.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150. And you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now, Andy White is signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.